It's back for 2014, the Football Sack Podcast for Brazil, brought to you by Banking on Football.
Back again, as we are almost every day during the World Cup. We are working very hard. I think we've only missed one day of the World Cup, haven't we?
That's about right, yes.
We are probably the hardest working guys covering the World Cup, I'd imagine, apart from one man, John Aloisi. got home last night. We'll just quickly do the intro to the show so people know who we are. I'm Jack. Christian and Pat are with me, as always, on the Football Sack Podcast. I got home last night after we'd been taking the mickey out of John Aloisi for just constantly being on television everywhere you look, hanging off the end of the SBS panel when he'd clearly turned up when it wasn't his roster day on. They had to go find an extra stool from outside for him to sit on. Went home last night, turned on Fox Sports, and he was the special guest on the back page. So, and then had barely stopped laughing about that, and they announced this morning, tune into Fox Sports News at 10 a.m. Special guest John Aloisi coming in to give us his thoughts.
Hey, he's working harder than the players.
It's market saturation. He's not a guest anymore.
You must have moved into the Fox Sports studios.
Yeah, if I was Fox Sports or SBS, I'd be charging rent. He's having a lent. Maybe that's it. Maybe after losing his job with Melbourne Heart, he no longer can pay his rent. He's now homeless.
He's working for board.
Yeah, well, maybe it's just like that Will Smith movie, The Pursuit of Happiness, and he's just trying to put on a facade that he's not homeless. So he just keeps putting on like nice suits and showing up at studios, and the World Cup's just well-timed because he gets to survive the cold winter by being inside. Yeah,
he was worried
posing,
because
posing as an analyst.
He was worried because it's obviously NRL and AFL season, but thankfully the World Cup came up, so he's got a month of respite.
Yeah, that's right.
I wonder what he's going to do after the World Cup. He might become a Michael Slater and become a football analyst, like a rugby league analyst or something like that.
Yeah, just a code hopper. Yeah, I wouldn't put it past him.
He'd be doing Big Bash, I reckon.
Would not put it past him. I think He's definitely putting himself in the shop window, Johnny. I'm almost ready to hire him just to get him off my television so I can hear some other analysts.
He's probably knocking on our door right now. Trying to get in.
What's that noise? That's Johnny. No chairs in here, Johnny. We're not having you hanging off the end of the table while we're recording.
I reckon we try to get him on.
We should.
Mate, try to get him on. We just have to reply to one of his emails with the word yes.
Yeah, it wouldn't be hard. To get him on, we'd have to open the door, answer the phone.
We have our blinds down for the reason. We're just sick of him constantly waving.
Yes, we see you, John.
He's like the guy at the back of the Today Show, and they're sort of waving in the morning. Guys, come in, guys. Come on, guys.
A huge night of football at the World Cup. Some massive results, some massive incidents, which we're obviously going to talk about. Also, huge news in the media. It's not been a good World Cup for the media. The coverage has been very poor, and it came to a head last night with SBS chief football analyst Craig Foster and Fox Sports commentator Robbie Slater going toe-to-toe on Twitter, not for the first time, and certainly for Foster, not for the first time, because, of course, he had his stoush with Ange a few years ago when calling for his head as coach of the young Socceroos. But for those who didn't see it, there was a bit of a blow-up. Robbie Slater asking Craig Foster on Twitter, demanding, learn how to co-commentate. You ruined the World Cup, my son. A bit harsh, but constructive.
Well, obviously, there's a lot of constructive criticism that there's stuff you can take and learn. You know,
grammar for a start. Not to put a space before you put your exclamation mark at the end of your sentence. Co-commentate, that's not two separate words. There's a hyphen that's meant to go in there.
I'm a big fan of constructive criticism, which is why we get so many emails. I love them all. Football side.
And just keep them coming, people. We love them.
But that's not constructive criticism. That's just criticism. You've actually got to add something, like saying you're shit. That's not constructive. That's abusive.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Fozzie then came back and said, Rob, your thoughts are excretions. I long ago tired of your intellectual bowel movements. Bit harsh, eminently constructive. So Foz sticking by the same theory he writes his newspaper columns with, which is write down what you want to say and then get out the thesaurus and find a bigger word to exchange for every word that you had written down beforehand. Yeah, kicking off big style.
Yeah, and as you said before the show, I mean, Robbie Slater criticising anyone for being a bad commentator, It's a bit rich.
Yeah, it's richer than Clive Palmer.
Because obviously his vocabulary consists of just get it in the mixer, son.
Yeah, well, that's right. Yeah, go on my site. Robbie Slater's phrasebook for commentating or co-commentating a game. Go on my site. Everyone's his son, first of all. He's fathered 8 billion children.
Who is he? Jamie Oliver. That's what Jamie Oliver says. Go on my son.
Go on my son. Put it in the mixer. Give it some violence. That tends to be one that he likes to use. So
this is in between his references that he won a Premier League at Blackburn and his favourite team was Liverpool.
Did he win a Premier League? Didn't know that.
No, well, he should tell us more often.
Yeah, absolutely. I think John Aloisi is going to join us shortly to tell us. So,
excellent.
So I mentioned Clive Palmer there. I saw a bit of topical news. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Clive Palmer in the news yesterday. His net worth has dropped by almost $1 billion. So
that's it's a shame some of his weight doesn't drop.
Well, that wasn't my joke, but you can take it if you want. I was going to say that he's come out and said that, look, he's disappointed, but he will bounce back. But one thing's sure, it's the last time he takes betting tips from the Football Site podcast. Because we are on fire with this World Cup. We've said that Greece were terrible and they're going home. They're now through.
But they are still terrible.
Yeah, but they will now play Costa Rica in the round of 16. I put $5 on them to win the World Cup this morning because I thought if they're going to make a total monkey, 101-1. I thought if they're going to make a total monkey of me, I'm at least going to get some cash out of it. Unbelievable set of results. So Costa Rica held to a draw by England. Italy are out of the World Cup. Christian's dark horses to win it are home.
This is bullshit.
We thought they were starting slowly.
Yeah.
Greece makes it through and Italy can't.
Yeah, to use the description of Christian's dark horse, they hallerand. They hallerand badly out of the tournament. Japan are going home, tail between their legs. Colombia continue to get better. We'll cover that. But first, we're going to speak to a man who has played with a few of the boys who played in Brazil. It's Sydney FC defender Matt German. Joining us on the line now is Sydney FC defender Matt German. Matt, thanks for joining us.
No worries, guys. Thanks for having me.
We'll start off, mate, by making or getting you to tell us what you've made of the tournament so far and especially your highlight.
Yeah, it's been a few surprises, a few shocks, but most of the top teams have been doing well, except for Spain. I think Brazil's probably still the favourites, I think, to go out and win it.
It's not uncommon to have an office sweep during the World Cup, and you usually get two or three teams. You've got a camp, a foot in a few camps. Obviously, you're Australian. Did you say your dad's Croatian and your mum is English?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And all three of them are going home after the group stage. How do you feel?
All of them are going home, yeah, so it's not very fortunate for me. So I'm going to have to find a new team to go for.
Who do you reckon you'll go for?
Not really sure. I think maybe a bit of an underdog, I think. Someone like Belgium or something like that.
Surely Germany's... the next closest nationality is German.
Yeah, you're not the first person that said that.
I'm sure I'm not, mate. You're, 24 years old? I'm 24 years late, probably. But just on the record, what is your nickname at Sydney FC?
Probably Germs.
Yeah, that's what we were calling you before we had to call you. We said we should get the Germ on the phone, and I think the Germinator was another one. So hopefully we're not offending you and you're enjoying the interview so far.
That's all good.
Mate, what did you make of the games overnight? Obviously, you've gone out in three successive days. You've had the Socceroos out, Croatia out, and obviously England were already out, but they played their last game last night. What were your thoughts on all three teams?
Well, firstly, with Australia, I think they deserved a lot more than they were given. I think at the World Cup, it's very cutthroat. If you fall asleep for 1 second, they can punish you, and I think that's just what happened with the Australian team. I think they played very well, and playing the first game, I think they should have at least been a draw, or they should have gone on and won it. But it was it's a bit tough. A lot of players got brought in, they really didn't have much experience, so for them to go out there and play the way they did, I think Ange has done a great job with the team. England, pretty disappointing for them and their fans. They had a great team, I think, and going into it, they had a lot of good young players that had a great season in the Premier League. So from that end, I think they'll be very disappointed with that. And with Croatia, Mexico's a good team, and 60 minutes they'll still in it, and then I don't know, a few quick goals killed the game off. But they're another team that had a lot of good players in their team, mainly with their midfield and Mandzukic up front as well. He had a great season in Bayern. So, yeah, I mean, I think all three teams would be disappointed not to go on to the next round, but they all could have, I think, if they would have picked up more points.
Now, mate, you've obviously played with Franić and Mackay. It must be a great feeling knowing that under Ange Postecoglou, A-League players are able to be picked for the World Cup, and in Mackay's case, even shine there.
Yeah, it was. I was pretty close with Franić in Brisbane, so, to see him get rewarded for the last 3 years of his performances in the A-League, I think it's great. It gives a lot of the A-League players something to strive for, and knowing if they play well, going to play for your country can become a reality. I think it's been a bit hard in the past with the National League or the A-League getting players in the national team, but I think you can see with Ange, he's not scared to throw young players in if they're doing the job at club level.
And you've got a big season coming up at the SFS with Sydney FC and working with Graham Arnold, mate. You must be looking forward to that.
We started training last week with Arnie, and it's been really, really good. And everyone's really positive about the new season coming up in October. But it's a nice change. But I think it's going to be a good season. We've still got a few players to fill in with a few spots left. So we've got a great squad. So hopefully we can have a good season together.
Fantastic. Thanks very much for your time today, Matt, and all the best for Belgium for the rest of the World Cup.
No worries. I'll probably end up getting out next because that's what happened to all my other teams. So.
Yeah, I'm on my way to the betting shop right now, actually.
Yeah, sorry. If you need any help, just give me a buzz.
Thanks, matey. See ya.
All right, no worries. Thanks, guys.
Thanks to Matt German for joining us from Sydney FC, and better luck with Belgium. or Matt the Kiss of Death German, as we will now be known for the rest of the World Cup. Let's jump into looking at last night's games. I had a joke about Craig Foster lined up, but then we had to go to the interview.
Well, what'd you have?
We can bring it up now.
I'm going to tell you anyway. A lot of controversy this morning on the back of the Foster-Slater blow-up that Craig Foster's come out and started tweeting to David Drillage, keep up the great work, mate, doing great stuff. Glad everyone's enjoying the program. And
Hashtag SBS World Cup.
Hashtag SBS World Cup, I think it was. Yeah. And then Driller wrote back, same to you, mate. Doing great things over there. Keep it up. Hashtag SBS World Cup. Benita Mercedes pointed it out and said, this looks a little bit sus to me. More so just the use of hashtags. If they wanted to send each other a quick text, I'm sure they have each other's phone number.
That has PR written all over it.
Yes, it has PR written all over it. But this is what people don't know. It's very, very common in the media industry for this sort of thing to happen. It's called creating a buzz. And if you're on Twitter earlier today, you saw that I was doing it. I sent a tweet to Patch saying, at Farty P, great work on hashtag TFS podcast, mate. Best podcast on iTunes by far. Hashtag again, TFS podcast. And Pat wrote back, the hashtag TFS podcast is bringing home the bacon. And we had a friend of the show, Matt Coleman, say, how good is the hashtag TFS podcast? And I said, yeah, Matt, he couldn't agree more. The hashtag TFS podcast is doing great coverage of hashtag World Cup 2014, hashtag TFS podcast. that's very common in the media for people to do that. It's called creating a buzz.
Yeah, so it's not actually public relations or anything. It's just people literally, it's a host of shows tweeting about.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that's how we media types just communicate to each other, via hashtag.
Yeah.
I only talk via hashtag now. Don't ring me. Hashtag me.
Yeah. So the other day, Pat actually tweeted me, hashtag meet to the studio at 2 p.m. Don't be late.
Yeah.
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 Don't text or call.
If you want me to answer my phone, I need to go on Twitter and see a hashtag, I'm ringing you, pick up your phone, and then I'll pick up my phone. But if I don't see that, I don't do it beforehand. All right, good. Glad that joke got
hashtag trending yet?
It can't be far away. It's been mentioned in over 3 tweets.
I think we need a lot of other people to start tweeting that hashtag.
No, but
if they want to talk to us, just hashtag.
But they're outsiders. This is how the media personalities talk to each other. It's the inner sanctum. A lot of people don't know how showbiz works. we are right at the business end of that.
So what do people do if they want to talk about the podcast? But are they allowed to use the TFS podcast?
No, staff only. If you want to, just tweet us directly at the Football Sack is probably a good way to get onto it. And then what will happen is that will go to one of our social media moderators, who will then see what the tweet's about and hashtag me if I'm required to respond to it.
Hashtag Jack, please look at this tweet.
Yeah, that's right. I only deal in hashtags and bat symbols on the sky now.
Hashtag this needs to end.
Hashtag wrap it up. Let's talk about the games overnight. Greece are through after we wrote them off.
Mate, no doubt. We in
called
the
them terrible. Yeah. They are through. A last-minute penalty. Christian, the penalty, we described it as very similar to the Berisha penalty in the grand final. He's been called a dive, but there's a touch that plays a big role in Samaras going down.
Now, the Berisha penalty is hard to justify. This one is actually, I wouldn't call it stonewall, but it is quite legitimately a penalty.
Yeah, it's not stonewall because it's Greece. It's concrete wall. Carry on.
I thought you were going to make like a joke about columns or something. Anyway, obviously the defender has got Samaras has gone for his backswing. The defender's put the foot in between in front of his foot. So when he comes for the forward swing again, he hits the defender's leg, which then makes him trip over because he's hit his own ankle out of the way. Now, some people may describe it as soft, but it's still a foul. If that happens at halfway, you're caught as a foul. That's what defines it against the Berisha one. The Berisha one in the A-League Grand Final, that happens at halfway, you won't play on.
So, technical question for Christian wearing your referee's hat. Mm-hmm. What if someone says, but hasn't Samaras kicked the defender's leg? Would that not be a foul?
If he's gone, but the defender's placed his foot there. So Samaras is in his natural swing of the backswing.
Is that how it's worked
out,
is it?
The defender's then placed his foot in there. So Carlos Puyol was expert at this. He was a lot better at it than this guy was.
Yeah.
He used to be able to step in at the exact right time where it'd be hard for the referee to decide that if the attacker's kicked Puyol or if Puyol's put the foot in into the backswing. In the end, the referee's got the hang of it and realised Puyol was doing it every single time.
Yeah.
Because attackers were always falling down around him suspectly. But he was, if you ever get to watch the old footage of Barcelona, watch Puyol in the box when an attacker's about to take a shot. And he's very, very good at it.
There you go. Mm. Tony Adams, the former Arsenal and England defender, used to have... if a striker was shooting, he would call it a freebie. Referees never give a penalty if the striker gets a shot away.
Right.
So if he saw somebody pulling the trigger, he would go in with every intent to try and hurt them, and he would either get the block, or if the guy did get the shot away, he would crunch him and just never give away a foul. And it's true. You so rarely see penalties given, even though someone will have a shot and then get hammered as they're shooting. Why is that?
Bad refereeing.
So it should be a foul.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, look, for example, if someone does a pass and someone cleans him out late or as he's passing,
that's right.
It's a free kick.
Yeah.
It's a foul. You know, there's no rules. It's like people who say, "I've got the ball." Well, that's not a rule. Or he's last man. That's not a rule. Mm. You know, just because someone's got their shot away as you've hit them, have they got advantage out of that? No, you fouled them. Therefore, it's a penalty. You've got to give it. So, 100% okay with this penalty. Yeah, I'm actually glad it was given. If I saw that and it wasn't given, you'd be a bit annoyed. So, even though the reaction on social media was quite harsh towards Greece.
I think a lot of those people didn't want Greece to make it through.
Yeah, that was probably just more anger. Oh, we have to watch these guys again.
Exactly right.
But what a win for Greece in a non-football sense. The country has gone mad at the first time they've qualified for the knockout stages, I think I heard this morning. I'm not entirely sure. But certainly, you thought it was all great. The Prime Minister of Greece has come out and said that Greece qualifying described it as a national disaster. And when asked why, he said, second round matches aren't for another 6 days. Do you know what 23 hotel rooms in Rio cost at this time of year? This could ruin us. So you've got to feel they may just pull out. They weren't expecting to go this far.
The backpackers.
Yeah, they haven't budgeted. Yeah, so if you're in a backpackers in Rio, say hi to Mr.
Caragunas.
Yeah, in the favelas. Dodging the bullets.
The squad might not show up to the next game.
But yeah, wonderful win for Greece. The other main story that we should probably talk about, and the reason I didn't open with Italy-Uruguay is because we're recording this at 3:30 in the afternoon and all the good Suarez jokes have been taken, so I didn't bother writing any. So Italy, on the way home, back-to-back World Cups, the Italians haven't got out of the group phase.
Amazing.
It is, especially
after the first game. Like, they looked all right against England.
They looked very good, I thought. They looked
second year.
But again,
Lismore Thistle's sixth division would look good against England.
Yeah.
So.
But you said at the time they weren't challenged, but they did enough to get by.
Am I right in saying they only scored one goal?
Two, because they beat England 2-1. It was Marchisio and Balotelli scoring the two goals for Italy. But so we scored more goals than Italy.
So we're
at the
better
World
than
Cup.
Italy.
We scored better more tournament. Than England. Yeah. So
to me, this raises the question: we're waxing lyrical about Costa Rica. Are they that good? if Italy are not that good. So they've beaten Italy, beaten Uruguay, drew with England. Now knowing that Italy haven't qualified, they never really performed. England, we know what England were like. And Uruguay a bit up and down. Are Costa Rica actually a good side?
I don't think we need to get into the other. I don't think they are, but that's not an insult. This is just a classic cup run. This is a lower league team making it to the semi-finals of an FA Cup sort of thing. It's just it's great cup football. They've found a way to grind out results in their group, and they've topped it, which is unbelievable. And they'll play Greece in the second round. So we're going to have Greece or Costa Rica in the quarterfinals of the World Cup. It's mental.
Hopefully not Greece. I like to see Costa Rica go through.
Now I've got $5 on it, mate. I'm Greek for the rest of the tournament. I'm cheering them on.
No, but it is good to see him, you know.
You must be glad German didn't say he's going to pick up Greece then.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just, when I asked the question, I was sweating. Just hoping he wouldn't. The big talking point, apart from Italy going out, is obviously Luis Suarez. How, on a scale of one to just, I can't even think of a superlative. The bloke's mental.
It's ridiculous. I mean, 4 years ago, when he did the handball against Ghana to get them through, everyone was sort of going, oh, what a cheat, this, that, and the other. But I actually sort of went, well, actually, you know, if I was playing for the Socceroos and that situation, I'd do the same thing.
That was
evil genius. I mean, that's okay. He's, you know, bent the rules for his, you know, to get his side through. But this is just, this is scum, isn't it?
It's scum the fact that it's the third time he's done
exactly
it.
You're right.
Yeah.
You can't exactly say, I tripped, fell, landed on his shoulder. Right? It's so, your third time.
I think the funniest thing is when he actually bit him, he fell down like he was the victim.
But look, you watch that, and you know, you can see exactly what he's doing. He's not doing it to piss off a player or just to bite him to spite him. He's going, so he's biting him. He's making sure the refs haven't seen, latched on, and the Italian
player...
To get
the reaction.
Yeah, he wants the elbow
Chiellini,
in the face.
Chiellini did throw the elbow, which is natural. You've just been bitten. If I get bitten by a mosquito, I try and squash it. If I got bitten by Luis Suarez, I would try and squash him. So that's completely understandable, but it really is... That's the tactic he's using here. And it's not even like the Ivanovic one in the Premier League where he was getting held and he tried to bite Ivanovic's arm to almost make him let go. He's just standing next to Chiellini and bites him.
He's like a zombie. He just come from behind and just latched onto the shoulder.
I watched The Walking Dead, and there's less gruesome scenes in that show than you saw last night.
I think when
you
were standing behind him, he thought his name said Cannelloni. You felt like a bit of Italian.
Yeah, that's right. Somebody was putting in the order for the team dinner and said, try the cannelloni. not the Chiellini. Beefer is saying that they are going to investigate it. We watched the highlights again on the FIFA website before we hit record on the pod, and it's conspicuous in its absence from the highlights reel. But can FIFA do anything about this? Can they act retrospectively? Do we know what the ruling is?
I can't say why not. Because what's a normal rule? If a referee's seen something, they can't act upon it. But if the referee's like, surely you would have sent him off.
Yeah.
And even if not, surely you can come in with another charge of putting the sport in dispute and tell him to piss off out of our tournament.
If they let him go scot-free, then there's something wrong. But in saying that, FIFA are dodgy.
Well, I have faith that FIFA will make the ethical decision.
I'm just waiting for Diego Maradona to come in and start spraying around his conspiracy theories. Because remember when he did the drugs with the USA? In the USA tournament, and he actually, he first of all said that, oh, it was a different energy drink. In Argentina, my energy drink doesn't have drugs, but I bought the USA version and it does have drugs. So that was obviously very legitimate. And then when that got waved away, he said, well, actually, I had a secret agreement with FIFA because they wanted the exposure and wanted a high-profile player that they'd let me take drugs, but then they reneged on it and they threw me out of the cup. So... We'll see. He's going to come out with some sort of, you know...
Involved already in a conspiracy theory in this World Cup when he left the stadium early before Messi's goal. He's been accused of being a jinx every time he goes to watch Messi play. Messi has a quiet game, and he watched the first 85 minutes of Iran-Argentina and then left. Mm. And, of course, Messi scored and was accused of being a jinx. And I forget who called him a jinx, but whoever it was, he flipped him off live on television and said, jinx this, and gave him the finger.
So. I loved last World Cup because he was the coach of Argentina. And that was just a giant joke.
It was just hilarious.
It's just a huge joke. It was there's been no real
it was like,
big jokes of the World Cup here this time.
In terms of that size of thing where it's like, are they seriously not just like, is anyone not going to step in and not let Diego coach this team? Yeah, agree. That was a little bit like that. Trying to think if there was a bit of a running joke on how that spectator won the competition to play at the World Cup. Did you say that?
What was that, Ben Halloran?
Yeah, Ben Halloran. got game time.
It was John Aloisi was very disappointed. He didn't win it.
Yeah, was doing everything he could. He just didn't know there was going to be cameras there. Otherwise, he would have made sure he was there. The next game is Colombia against Japan. Colombia, who I said they look good. Christian, you said yes, but how hard's their group? Not that hard, but they still look good. They looked very impressive this morning.
They look very, very good. Not so great in that first half. In that second half, their counter-attacking was top-notch. Japan had more possession, more territory, more shots, and lost 4-1.
Right, there you go. And it was 1-1 at one point, so they've shipped the last three goals there. So.
Well, James Rodriguez came at half-time, and that just changed everything.
Looks a player. Serious player.
He does look like a player. Yeah. That's exactly
unlike
what he
Ben Halloran.
But yeah, Colombia looked great, and I want to give a shout out to a good old Mondragon.
Yes, Mondragon, the oldest player ever.
Oldest player to ever play in World Cup finals at 43.
And one of the best names in World Cup finals. The Mondragon.
Mondragon. So, how's that spelled? M-O-N.
Dragon.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But it came on as a substitute.
Yeah, 5 minutes
as
to go.
As a keeper, we should point out, which is wonderful to see. It's great that even at that level, the coaches realised that the game was won.
Must be slim pickings in Colombian goalkeeping.
Oh, well, I couldn't tell you. I don't know much about the Colombian league. I tried to think of a joke and there was nothing came to mind at all. So Colombia, they're storming into the knockout phase. Who do they play?
They have got Uruguay.
Ooh. Possibly a Suarez-less Uruguay.
Oh, hopefully
in which case, you'd see Colombia progressing from that, couldn't you? In which case, Uruguay will progress now that I've said that 100%.
So, Clive Palmer, jump on that.
Yeah. And final game of the night last night, England bowed out of the tournament with a whimper. And,
yes. Not a good night for them.
No, it wasn't. Their cricket team also heroically lost to Sri Lanka at home. Costa Rica, we've sort of touched on them. They found a way to get the results they need. So we wish them all the best in their quarterfinal against Greece. But I hope that Greece win the whole tournament because I'll make some money. We should thank our sponsors before we wrap up today's show, which we're not far away from doing. Our major sponsor, Banking on Football, has some news. They are, last year, Banking on Football ran a program in Cambodia to help children break out of the poverty cycle using the vehicle of football. They are doing the same thing again in association with Credit Union Foundation Australia in Timor-Leste later this year. If you would like to find out more, go to bankingonfootball.com/Timor. Very exciting program. They are looking for donations and also, you can donate your time. If you're interested in going and being one of the people who delivers the program, which encourages kids to come into school and learn about how to save their money and rewards them by bringing football gear to the schools and letting the kids play, which is a fantastic initiative.
Brilliant.
So well done to our sponsors, Banking on Football, for that. We should also thank Arrivederci's Pizza, which, I tell you what, I'm glad I wasn't there last night. That would have been a pretty sorry atmosphere. So we'll have to find out from some people who were at Arrivederci last night. But they won't be short of big games for the rest of the tournament. So if you are in the Suncorp Stadium area of Brisbane, be sure to get along to Arrivederci's Pizza. Remember, they are open 24/7 for the duration of the World Cup. So get in, get a pizza if it's pizza eating time, which for me is just 24/7 anyway, or get a coffee if it's early in the morning, or a beverage if it's late at night.
Or if it's early in the morning.
Or whatever. Get an alcoholic coffee if you want. An Irish coffee, maybe, and celebrate Ireland not being at this tournament, so not relevant. Elite Fitness Lismore. We should also thank them. They're wonderful sponsors, specializing in weight loss, muscle and strength training, sport-specific training, and nutrition and diet support. If you are in the Northern Rivers region and you would like to train one-on-one with expert professionals in a boutique setting away from the crowds of your average gym, call Dean 0403-571-582.
Actually, I think I might need to give him a call because I've been so much spending a lot of time in bed and on the couch watching the football and just eating. I think I've put in a few pounds since the podcast started.
Yes, I have.
But we're working hard, mate. Working hard. And
not physically.
No, not physically at all. working very soft physically and becoming very soft physically as well. And also SMG Australia, who have been and continue to be wonderful supporters of ours and yours if you're listening, because you're getting the show for free. We should come back tomorrow when there's been more football to talk about. See you tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Football Sack Podcast for Brazil, brought to you by Banking on Football.